Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Good morning. Happy pre-dawn. Happy Thursday. Going up on a Thursday. Those aren't the lyrics. Anna, you know the lyrics to that song?
I don't, actually.
Yeah, it's going up on a Tuesday. I don't know why they say Tuesday. Has anyone really ever gone up on a Tuesday?
Yeah, what happens on a Tuesday? Tuesday's like that one day of the week where you're like, oh, it's so early in the week. Because Monday you have your, okay, getting over the weekend and everything. But Tuesday's so early on in the week, you're still way too far from thinking of the weekend.
Never understood that song.
Yeah.
Never understood it. But anyway.
The importance of Tuesday.
Nevertheless, we are here on Thursday. That means one more day until the weekend. Yes.
And it also means a happy draft day.
Happy draft day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get the same feeling on the NBA draft day as you say is the NFL draft day?
Not as long of the excitement, because it's mostly, you know, usually with the NBA draft, it's like the first few guys. Now you wait a little longer because the Warriors have the 28th pick.
Yes.
They also have, what is it, the 58th pick as mm-hmm. well in the second round. So I'll be paying attention a little longer this time. But usually it's always like the first few picks that you're really paying close attention to, and then you're done for the evening. Go back to your business.
I think that's how it's been, especially here on this side of the United States in Golden State, because
mm-hmm.
we've been watching the Warriors. And for the most part, draft picks have been largely just meaningless because we've had this team set up and they wouldn't be anything besides just guys that would come in garbage time. But nevertheless, we'll get into all that a little later because, I mean, obviously it's a draft. It's important. But we'll talk about the first five picks, see which teams could pose the biggest threat going forward. We got new reports with Kevin Durant.
Of course.
And we couldn't go without at least talking about any report that comes out there, even though it's ridiculous. A lot of them, the way they sound, especially one that came out about him and Kyrie Irving. It's kind of crazy what Frank Isola, rather, is reporting. And then from the 408 on the Chill My Body text line, feel free to hit it up, 95795. That's the point of the song, is you turn the F up every day, even on a Tuesday. Yeah, but that's stupid. You don't want to turn up every day.
Maybe
take a break, huh?
I don't. Maybe just get excited. Look forward. Live each moment. You know, just enjoy the day. Carpe diem.
Even when I was in Chico State, I wasn't going up on a Tuesday. I was going up on a Wednesday, though.
Thursday was a day for me.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Wednesday,
Sunday off.
Not so much for me. It was more, okay, take a day off. Tuesday, Wednesday were about the same. Just, all right.
All right. But we are going to keep it local here, even though it sounds like we're not. But one thing that did come out, and this is about as passionate as I'm going to be about anything involving basketball that's not actually in, like, the basketball season.
I think I know where you're going.
Yeah. But Space Jam 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The lineup was released, or the cast. And they got LeBron, Anthony Davis, now teammates, Dame Lillard, Klay Thompson, and Chris Paul. So, again, we got Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. What do we think, Anna? What are you looking at? Are you excited to see this movie now? What are you thinking?
Well, also shout out also WNBA stars Diana Taurasi and also the Ogumike sisters.
Ogumike
sisters.
Nice.
Thank
nice
you
work.
Very much. Thank you very much, sir. I will see it more now because Klay Thompson's in it. Klay Thompson's in it. I will definitely see it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I will see it because Klay is in it. I was going to plan on seeing it, obviously, just because I love the original Space Jam. While I don't think it'll ever live up to the original Space Jam. Because,
no, it won't.
You know, it's nostalgic for me. I was a kid when that movie came out. I watched Michael Jordan and, you know, the whole jokes about him, you know, going to play baseball. He's a baseball player now, but in just kind of involving, you know, the whole Looney Tunes gang.
And he lives in a nice suburban neighborhood with the nice bulldog that comes up and it manages to knock him over by drooling on him. And then Jim Rome's talking crap about him baseball, saying, get this guy a tennis racket. You're not going to replicate any of that.
No, no. It's going to be, which broadcasters are going to be in this movie? Are we going to get Woj bombs? Are we going to get a Woj bomb and a Shams? What do we call Shams? The Shams, not a Shams bomb because it's a Woj bomb.
Everyone wants to call it a Sham Wow, but I think that's trademarked. I like to call it a Sham Wham.
Oh, I like that. Sham-wham.
Sham-wham.
I think we need to make that happen.
Yeah. But I think also they need to get the inside the NBA crew just all
in there. Good idea.
Shaq,
yes.
Chuck, Ernie, Kenny the Jet Smith, all
Please.
Of that.
Oh, my gosh. If that's not in there, I don't know. This movie will be the biggest flop ever, even though we'll see what the expectations are.
Yeah. No. You need something like, I don't know how they're going to replace Larry Bird and Bill Murray. The chemistry between those two was second to none. It's the same as Pacino and De Niro. I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm going
that far. That's some really high.
I'm going that far.
That bar is set, man.
Yeah, you're going to need Wayne Knight being the bumbling publicist who's out there digging holes in the green because Michael Jordan fell through the hole and sucked through it by Bugs Bunny. I'm heated.
It's not a sequel either.
No.
It's more of a remake. So is the storyline going to be the same? I don't, you know, how are they going to change it up?
Now, it says it's a remake. I don't get what they're going to do exactly.
They'll change it up.
But this texter brings up a good point from the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line and the 650. I'm going to get to you later. How could Clay be in it with an ACL injury? No way he'd be able to play in a fake game.
Well,
that's a good point.
Don't forget the Monstars take the Stars' powers. So he's actually probably not going to be playing in it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Monstars taking their, you know, their abilities on the court. And you're going to see a little animated player look like Klay Thompson and what he can do.
I mean, all he's going to do is shoot, right? It's just going to be a catch and shoot player.
I mean, he's got to have like a 67 or 60-point game, 37-point quarter.
Going to be a hell of a two-way player.
Yeah.
He's going to have to play both sides.
Monster defense.
Yeah, defense.
Monstar defense.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, from the 912 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. I was not going to watch it at all. Now that Clay's in it, I might watch it. And then
see it for Clay.
Yeah, and from the 415 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, those are all players LeBron wish he had on his team right now. That's what's interesting, is because he's got Anthony Davis. Klay Thompson was linked to the Lakers. And then Chris Paul, just because all this Rockets stuff has been coming out about how him and James Harden don't get along, which I actually believe is because James Harden is like he is in the State Farm commercials and he accidentally made Chinese food in the microwave and blew up Chris Paul's house. But that's neither here nor there. Chris Paul, though, he also was sort of linked to the Lakers because, well, he's friends with LeBron. I do find that kind of interesting that four out of these five guys that are in the lineup are guys that LeBron wanted on the Lakers.
Okay, so looking back, I'm trying to think of this without, you know, not trying to be biased here. But looking back with Michael and everything and all the stars in that movie, would you have thought about it as tampering back then? You know, when you watch a lot of the stars and everything then, you know, we didn't have that kind of discussion. I think, is it a lot of social media driven things? Why is it so different now?
That's true. I mean, was he tampering and trying to get Charles Barkley to go to Chicago?
Can I get old Chuck?
Was he trying to get Sean Bradley to go over there?
Oh, Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, was he trying to get Muggsy Bogues over there? I don't know. That's interesting. Because, yeah, I guess since social media is sort of the driving force behind all the storylines that go on within the NBA right now, I mean, maybe he was, and that was Jordan's secret plan. Didn't work. Didn't work at all.
No.
But maybe that was his secret plan all along.
So I just want to have some fun with this. I think Ryan Coogler is going to be doing the.
He is producing it.
He's producing it. Yeah. So they've got a good name behind it.
Shout out Oakland.
956, you need a cameo by Jordan. You think Michael Jordan will make a cameo? The end of the movie, maybe? Or does he come and save the day? Is he really showing that he's the greatest of all time?
Do you think he comes in like at the end and like Bill Murray, where he just comes in and says, no, I don't play defense. All I play is offense.
That'd be great. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'd love to see an MJ appearance.
They're going to have an actor in it. They got to have at least one like specific, maybe comedic guy who's popular. I mean, I would not
Kevin
be
Hart.
Kevin Hart is most. That's probably the number one guy who's going to be acting within that movie. I don't know what he's going to be doing, but he's the number one dude. And then of course the Looney Tunes. They got big shoes to fill for me.
I mean,
and
Bugs is going to be there.
Texter is saying it's not iconic like The Godfather. I beg to differ, sir or ma'am. I've watched The Godfather. Fell asleep through it twice.
Seriously?
I mean, it's a long movie.
Yeah.
Long movie. Really good.
Let me watch it. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Just fell asleep through it, though. But Space Jam, to me, is just, it's the number one. It's the apex of movie making. There was a McDonald's commercial.
You went there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Oh, my goodness. That's what I wanted to start off with today. I just saw that lineup, and I'm like, all right, we're starting the show with this at least. But we do.
I like Dame in there, by the way. I love the fact that Dame's going to be in there. I'll watch it for Dame, too.
Dame Lillard, he strikes me as like just the type that's kind of like, yeah, I'll ride along with this. Like, he doesn't strike me as like, oh, get me in this movie, get me in this movie.
Who knows? This type of popularity might, you know, get him more all-star votes, things like that. You know, because he is one of those guys that tends to get overlooked over the years.
This is true. This is true. Until, I mean, coming up in the playoffs even, until he made that game-winning shot, a lot of people were saying Dame hasn't even really nationally, like, come out to the fans yet. Like, he's not that popular just as far as non-NBA fans go. So maybe this is just a way to boost all of that sort of stuff. I mean it's Anthony Davis, though. I mean, you seen that guy act?
Did I not call it? That's all, folks, with that shirt. Did I not call that?
You did.
Right?
That's all, folks.
I mean, he wore the shirt. That's all, folks, over in, with the Pelicans. Double meaning there.
That was right after, though, that the report came out that Anthony Davis doesn't dress himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't put on his own clothes.
He's like a giant paper doll.
Let me see. From the 510 on the Chill Now Body text line, Kobe should have been the star in the movie.
Okay, he hasn't been playing. Look, you got to go with who's playing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
From the 707 on the Chill Nobody text line, CP3 was supposed to be a Laker back in the Kobe era. The NBA vetoed the trade. That is true. Mm-hmm. And also from the 925, is this his Hamptons meeting or LeBron's Space Jam meeting trying to influence the players? I mean, I don't know if we can. I mean, I'm looking at the cast right now, and I'm thinking, yeah, LeBron wants to play with those guys, but I don't think it can't go that deep.
Would be really funny, though, if somehow they incorporate, like, the Monstars meeting in the Hamptons or something. It'd be kind of funny if they have these little inside jokes from the NBA, like, kind of sprinkled throughout.
Yeah, just having, like a banana boat go in the ocean sort of thing. Yeah, that would be good.
I would find that funny. I would find little things like that pretty funny where it's like, okay, I get that.
If they could find a way to actually make fun of themselves, because when the one thing we like to see in athletes, like, regardless, is them being real and sometimes being a little self-deprecating. And what they do, some of these athletes, especially LeBron, is kind of ridiculous. And he was in that movie Trainwreck, and he was funny. He kind of makes fun of himself in that movie a little bit. So as long as they're, like, self-deprecating and you know, they're real about it, then, you know, I can watch this.
So better actor, LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
Oof. Stump me with
the
that
greatest
one.
Acting basketball player of all time.
I mean, well, if you're going with the greatest acting basketball player of all time, I'm going with Larry Bird alongside Bill Murray.
Nice.
I can't go against that. All right, we're actually going to talk some real sports and also dad bods. Sexy. We'll get into that, and also Dana White of the UFC. He's really pushed this Tom Cruise versus Justin Bieber thing going forward. And also this Little League brawl. I want to get the Chilton Allbody text line, his opinion on this. 95795. What's like the craziest thing you've seen at a Little League event or some sort of possibly peewee event where little kids are playing? Because if you saw the video of this brawl, which happened in Colorado during a baseball game with 7-year-olds, then we'll get into that. But we do have the NBA draft tonight, and wanted to get your thoughts, Anna, on what the Warriors need to be doing, what position they need to fill, and also which teams in these top five picks are actually going to contend in the NBA next season. We'll get into all that. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Today, 95.7 The Game is live from Warriors headquarters for the NBA draft.
Golden State Warriors select Klay Thompson from Washington State University.
Papa and Bonte get you ready for the NBA draft with player previews, trade possibilities, and more.
A Klay trade!
The NBA draft special starting today at noon on 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumbers.com for dates and more information. The NBA draft is tonight, and oh yeah, the Giants lost again.
Yeah. Hammered Drew Pomeranz last night.
Yeah, that was brutal. As a Giants fan, I don't know how it's... When I'm watching Drew Pomeranz in the first inning throw almost 40 pitches, most of them not even being strikes, and then Chris Taylor coming up and hitting a three-run jack when that guy isn't even supposed to hit home runs, and then some guy with the last name Garlic, who I've never heard of before, he hit a home run too. It's not like Cody Bellinger was hitting the home runs. I don't think Max Muncy was playing yesterday, but it's... That was a tough watch.
Yeah.
That was a tough watch.
Especially when it's against
I forgot to mention that this morning.
Yeah. Especially against the Dodgers. It's like it's just that little extra little hit in the gut.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? We expected it right now this year, and we'll see what happens down the road with this team and what moves they're going to make and what the future looks like.
Yeah. We'll see. So, Anna, where do we want to go here?
So many directions.
There's a few directions that we can go here. We can go... I mean, we got the NBA draft, and you know, that's obviously going to happen. But the Oakland A's won from the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. That they did.
Swept the Orioles.
Over
so.
Orioles, and way to go, knocking over their best player in Trey Mancini, giving him a little elbow contusion. Kind of brutal. But anyway, nevertheless, where do we want to go here? Because Dana White came out yesterday, and he says he wants to move forward in a fight between Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber.
Yeah, because Justin Bieber, for those who don't know, he actually tagged Dana White in a Twitter poll saying that he wants to challenge Tom Cruise in a fight in the octagon. Well, Thought it was completely fake, just a little fun, little publicity stunt and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you know, White initially said he blew it off until he actually said he got some phone calls from quote-unquote real guys connected to the superstars. Dana wouldn't say who he spoke to, but he said it is legit. And he told Dana both Tom and Justin really want to do this fight. They believe Tom Cruise would do the fight. And if that's true and everybody involved wants to do it, we can talk, is what he says. Can you imagine Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber in the octagon? Would you watch it, first off?
Well, yeah. And that's the issue.
I know.
Like, I really don't want to say I would. Like, I really want to say I wouldn't. But I think every single person would if that fight were to go on. I was saying, no, I'm not going to watch Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. I'm not going to watch that. That's stupid. Come the time of the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight,
still watch
I was
it.
Right over at the friend's house who was having a group party. And they were paying for all of it and everything. This is actually, to me, this is a genius move.
It's kind of like, oh, what was that show, the MTV one with the characters?
Celebrity Deathmatch?
Yeah, thank you. Celebrity Deathmatch in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously not to the death.
This is genius because when you got fans of Justin Bieber's, who I'm going to assume a large portion of his demographic aren't going to be UFC fans.
The Liebers.
Yeah, if you want to bring some new type of person in to watch UFC and you put two guys like Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise, when Justin Bieber wrote that tweet or whatever he did to challenge Tom Cruise to the fight, Dana White must have been just drooling at the mouth because it's a whole new opportunity. It's for something. It's just for people's entertainment. Now, would it stink? Probably. But what if it doesn't? That's the question. And I think also, Justin Bieber, what are you doing? Tom Cruise has that old man strength.
Oh, God, yes.
Days of Thunder, Mission Impossible's 1 through
25.
30. Yeah, it's like,
I know.
It's like,
I put my money on Tom Cruise. If I were to put my money on anybody, it'd be 100% Tom Cruise. Yes. I think that he'd be the overwhelming favorite, even with the age difference, 20 years older. Did you see the challenge that was going out on Twitter, by the way, that you put out? It was like the 20-year challenge, like who's 20 years older than you? Who's the celebrity you'd fight if
Ooh.
They're older than you?
Ooh.
I looked mine up.
Yeah?
Mine would be Hulk Hogan, Kim Basinger, yeah. and Tim Allen. I'm going up against Buzz Lightyear.
Just those three? That's pretty much all you
got?
I
mean, those are the main ones that were born like 20 years before me.
You think you could take on any of those three?
I would die with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I might have a little bit of a fight with Kim Basinger.
You and Kim Basinger?
Tim Allen, I don't know. I would probably just laugh to death because he's funny.
Really?
I love Tim Allen.
He would just stand there going,
I love Home Improvement. Great show.
Well, I'm looking.
Buzz Lightyear coming out this weekend, Toy Story 4.
How about that? I'm looking at people that are 20 years older than I am.
Okay. Who's 20 years older than you?
And they're 46 years old. So I got a choice of Eminem. Do we count women in this conversation? I got Heidi Klum and Sofia Vergara.
You're dead either way.
Yeah.
You're dead either way. Sofia Vergara's going to like stab you with her heels.
then I got Pharrell, Neil Patrick Harris, Sean Paul.
You have a
Jim Parsons for the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, you could take him.
I think I can take Jim Parsons. Ben Affleck? Nope. Marlon Wayans? Nope. Idris Elba? Nope. Akon? Definitely not.
No.
Jermaine Dupri? Maybe. Liam Gallagher from Oasis? Nope. Zinedine Zidane? He would headbutt me to death? Absolutely not. Jude Law? Hell no. Trey Cool? He would smack me with a drumstick. Brad Paisley, he would hit me in the face with a guitar. Josh Duhamel, he would just sick a transformer on me. Adam Scott, maybe.
I think you sick Adam Scott. You got him. You got a couple in there you can probably.
My two choices here are Adam Scott or Jim Parsons. That's
all
I got.
You can take Jim Parsons, yeah.
Otherwise,
you're dead.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Wow, we had to bring that up.
We just had to.
Yeah, had to bring that part up.
Root for Tom Cruise on this one.
So there is an NBA draft tonight. And Anna, where are you at in terms of this for the Warriors? Their first pick is going to be the 28th pick. Now, I think we got to keep in mind just a texter on the text line here brought up something, a really good point. And it said from the 650 on the Chill on Body text line, not understanding everyone saying it's a 3-player draft, guaranteed a player drafted from the 4th pick on will be better than one of the top 3 picks. Happens every year, and so one of the top 3 most likely is going to be at least Zion Williamson or Ja Morant. I don't really see where anywhere else is going, but in terms of the Warriors, though, when you look at guys that they got on their team, when you look at Draymond Green, when you look at that guy who was drafted in the 2nd round, when you look at Kevon Looney, who got hurt his first couple of seasons, and that deterred him. Who knows what kind of player he could have been? Now they kind of missed on guys like Damian Jones, and I think, are we counting Jacob Evans out already?
No, I don't think you can count him out already, because look at what happened with Kevon Looney. The fact that he's made, obviously, a huge impact in the playoffs, and yes, it's been kind of a 3-year project.
Yeah.
Let's give Jacob Evans a third a little time here. Let's give him a little time. The whole goal, I think, with him is to kind of train him to be a legitimate point guard. And you have basically what's going to be looking like a development year this next year. Let's see if he could develop into something that'll make an immediate impact. Because right now, what the Warriors are looking at, I mean, they're looking for immediate impact. He's somebody that's going to need development this next year, and I think he'll be able to make an impact for this team down the road. But they need somebody right now for the near future.
Well, I think, and it's most important to look at just these guys that they're hoping to sign for the years going on. I mean, you want to sign Klay Thompson. You want to sign Kevin Durant for that 5 years, $220 million. You want to sign Draymond Green. I mean, maybe you don't. If you're a fan, I'm sure there's part of you that doesn't want Kevin Durant here. I've heard some callers say that. But I think with Draymond and Klay, I think everyone can agree that they still want them here in Golden State.
Definitely.
But if you pay all these guys, then in the future, you're not going to be able to really pay for any huge big name free agents again. You're going to have to rely on draft picks this time. So I think that this 28th pick tonight is about as important as it's as it's been for the Warriors.
Yeah, and I think they need to look also into the international pool, maybe for like their second round pick as well. You're seeing a lot. You're seeing a lot more of the international players getting in the spotlight right now. Luka Doncic. You see what happened with Giannis and how he has become a complete beast in the league. And I think that's something that you kind of need to explore a little bit more.
Yeah, and also we got to take a look at one guy who also was drafted in the second round. These are the top two players, like second round draft picks to me at least, in the NBA. Okay. Besides Draymond Green, it's also Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
And we don't know who, like, what these guys will be. No one knows. It's the same with every draft.
Every pick.
Yeah, every sport. You can't predict who's going to be good and who's not. I don't think anyone really expected Baker Mayfield to go up there. Some people did, but I don't think everyone really thought that Baker Mayfield was going to lead his team to a point where their over-under is at 9 wins by the next season. So that's just taking the NFL draft, for example. Everyone, like some people thought Jameis Winston was actually going to be okay, but he's turned out to just kind of be a bust after all.
He had some moments, though.
He had some moments.
He definitely had some moments, but then, you know, that you also have the character issues as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something you need to take into effect and what, you know, how it affects them on the court. Things off the court, how much it affects them when they're actually playing.
See, from the 925 on the Chill Not Body text line, I love the confidence here. Carson Edwards from Purdue, undersized but electric offensively. Dubs will need scoring. Next, Lou Williams / Jamal Crawford. That's a big ask to be the next Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford. You're expecting this dude to be the best, what, sixth guard of all time? Like, sixth man that plays a guard? Like, at least maybe not of all time, but Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford are both veterans right now of this generation. Yeah. Who are those six men who have made differences everywhere they've been. It's hard to just fully say with confidence, yeah, this is what those guys are going to turn into. You just have to rely on the Warriors brass to make the right pick.
Yeah, you have to look at what, you know, they are doing all kinds of research right now on all these different players, meeting with different players, trying to get to know them. And the big issue right now is trying to find, you know, maybe somebody like a wing, someone who's also really versatile, maybe 2, 3, 4 positions and everything. Because right now what we're seeing from the draft, or not from the draft, but from the playoffs, you're seeing the huge drop off from like when Kevin Durant went down. You're seeing a huge drop off from his play to like to the next man up, you know, going from like a Kevin Durant to Alphonso McKinney. That's a big difference when it comes to ability on the court. So you need to find somebody. Obviously, you're not going to find somebody at this point in the draft that's going to fill the shoes of Kevin Durant, but you can make it so that it's, you know, not so far of a drop off that you have somebody who has abilities that are a little more in between.
For me, I want to see them draft a player who is kind of that, what we've seen in the playoffs now is kind of that PJ Tucker, Damari Carroll type, who are centers really when they're playing small ball, but also power forwards who can just out-muscle you. I think they need to get a guy with muscle because besides Draymond Green, you don't really have that thumper in the paint. Kevon Looney's not really that guy. He's more of like a finesse big man rather than just a powerful big man. I want to see them get someone with power. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe they do need another shooter. Bob Myers is quoted saying that they could use any position right now. So
Pretty much.
It's really up in the air. But me personally, I'd like to see them get kind of that strong guy that can at least back up Draymond Green in the future, who can come in and then just be a guy who could be a force in the paint and at least like get some rebounds and all that sort of stuff. Because we've seen this in the playoffs is that offensive rebounding is one of the more important parts of the game.
It is. But I also think when it comes to, like, say, the big man role and the center position and everything, I think you can get a lot more veteran guys.
That's true.
They haven't done as well when it comes to that position, the draft. You have Kevon Looney, but how long it's take to develop him, you've seen that. So that's why I'm thinking you need to go in a different direction this time in the draft.
You do. We'll see what Bob Myers does. I don't know. These past drafts, they haven't been all that promising. I can't just say that, yeah, he's hit on every single draft pick that he's made because he simply hasn't. Kevon Looney's probably the best one that's come out of the draft, and that was a while ago. So we'll see how they do tonight. They have the 28th pick, but there are reports that came out about Kevin Durant, and we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention them because he is I know a lot of people didn't want to hear about Kevin Durant's free agency or whatever, but this is the offseason, and also there's kind of been a little bit of a ridiculous report. I don't know whether we should believe it or not. I want to get your thoughts. Chilton Our Body text line 95795. Also, feel free to text the text line. Who do you want to see them draft? What kind of player? Maybe what position? Do you even want to see them draft a guy who plays a specific position? Or do you want a guy who's more of a positionless player that can just help them in any sort of lineup? Feel free to text the Chilton Our Body text line 95795. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Let's hear how things are going on the Damon Bruce Show.
I could honestly be sold right now a year of, well, here's what we're going to give you. Steph Curry stunting on the NBA. No win total. I'm not going to sell you any level of success, but Curry gets to show out any night he's not resting in the name of we ain't burning this wick too hard. Like, I'd sign up for the show.
Listen to the Damon Bruce Show anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app. Download the app and favorite 95.7 The Game today. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Now, I want to get to this report about Kevin Durant because reports are going to surface. It's just what's going to happen for the next, whatever, 11, 12 days. But real quick, what was the reaction, Anna, when Edwin Encarnacion got traded to the Yankees? Was there much of a reaction at all? Because he got traded for just some prospect pitcher, and so got traded from the Mariners over to the Yankees. What was the reaction with that?
With, in general, here specifically?
Just in general. When the news came out, was it discussed? Like, because I kind of want to compare it to somebody.
I wouldn't say disgusted. It was like, wow, that's a big move. Oh, my gosh, huge move for the Yankees. I mean, it was all over the place. I know here on the morning show with Jolo and Dibs, they were talking about the potential of maybe with that addition that frees up, you know, Clint Frazier to come over here potentially as a potential trade with the Giants.
Right.
You know, send Mad Bum there, Will Smith over there, and then, you know, bring in a young prospect like that into the Giants mix. But overall, I think it was just like a wow moment. Just, oh, that's a great move for the Yankees.
Okay. Because it's just, to me, it was fascinating yesterday watching the report about Mike Conley getting traded over to the Jazz and just seeing the ramifications from that. That was talked about for just the rest of the day. And I'm just thinking, man, the NBA is just, they're just kings right now when it comes to just their offseason and everything that's going on. I mean, it's like, when I saw the Encarnacion trade, I was like, wow, this is...
Well,
I hope that got some traction.
I'm
but
trying
it's
to remember
like,
what day, honestly, because my days are kind of all mixed together right now. But that actually happened. What was it, on a Friday? What day was it that I actually went down?
I was gone. That's the kind of reason I'm asking, because when that Mike Conley trade happened, I'm thinking, man, the NBA is just king right now.
Well, I think it was also timing, because I remember I wasn't here. I wasn't working.
Okay.
So I think it happened where it was like over the weekend. So that's why I want to say it happened either on Friday or Saturday. So it was one of those that you almost missed that news cycle day.
Slipped under the radar a little bit.
I mean, it didn't slip under the radar because we obviously talked about it. But at the same time, it wasn't like yesterday, huge trade in the morning on a, what was it, Wednesday yesterday.
Yeah.
So middle of the week, big story right before the trade deadline. NBA is all over the place. So I get where you're going with this. I mean, this is a huge story, obviously.
Right. Right. And I just think in the baseball world that's the difference between a lineup that could win a World Series or could not. But rather we are discussing the report right now, though, because there was a report from Frank Isola that prior to suffering a ruptured Achilles in the NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors forward Kevin Durant was planning a vacation with now Celtics, point guard Kyrie Irving. The trip's purpose was to spend quality time together and map out their respective futures. And then we're also seeing a report now that if KD doesn't sign with the Nets, then Kyrie probably isn't either.
Where are they going on vacation, you think?
Barbados.
That is a really nice place. I've been there.
Really?
It's beautiful, actually. I went there on my honeymoon. I actually went there on my honeymoon.
Oh,
beautiful,
wow.
Beautiful island. Great people. Nice people, too.
Well, I kind of just threw that out there. And then, Adrian Wojnarowski came out with the report now that Kevin Durant, and now I'm going to word this here, But it says, I'm told KD is doing a lot of soul searching right now. Stepping back from the injury and processing all of this for KD, he can go back to Golden State on a 5-year, $200 million plus deal. Now, stepping back and looking into the future, that's not exactly the right way to word it when the man has a torn Achilles.
Yikes.
Yeah. But yikes. So I find this interesting, though, with Kyrie Irving because, I mean, if you're him, why don't you just sign with the Lakers?
That would be the best
move
for him.
I mean, they're gonna have to free up what, $4 million in room so they could sign another max player. I think he's proven now. I don't know if Gordon Hayward exactly was that second star that he needed in Boston, but when he was with the Celtics before him and Hayward got injured, they proved that they could make it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals even just with that team, and they had pretty much the same team that they threw out there, whether it was Jason Tatum or Jalen Brown or scary Terry Rozier. It didn't matter who they had. They didn't let go of any of them.
Yeah, honestly, when you brought up what we were talking about during the break, we were talking about the idea of Kyrie Irving coming to the Lakers. Just when you think about that altogether, and that would fill a void that would be needed. And to me, that's, you know, everybody's talking about the Lakers being a favorite right now with Anthony Davis in the mix. I'm not completely convinced of that because I still don't think they have enough. But if you had Kyrie Irving in the mix with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, if they truly had cleared the air and they're fine, that would make them jump to me.
Yeah, because he's proven that if he plays with a guy who at least is who has just a different skill set than him, rather than just a point guard, a shifty point guard who has the best handles in the game, who can also shoot the ball. But when he's playing with a guy who can also just power through another team, like with the likes of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, with the way that Kyrie Irving can pass the ball, I mean, I don't think he needs to wait just for a Kevin Durant decision in order to make his own decision. I think he's just got to go straight to the Lakers if I was him. And then Kevin Durant, if you're doing a little bit of soul searching, you're going to take a step back, as Adrian Wojnarowski reported, and you're going to think, damn, I mean, if I come back to this team, could be a redemption story. Right now, everyone's counting out the Warriors just because of how hurt they are. But, I mean, maybe not next season, but in a couple of years' time, he could bring the Warriors back to prominence and what we've seen from 2014 through 2019. I mean, if you're taking a step back, it's like, I mean, why leave? that's pretty much my question.
So I think for him, it's more of he wants to enjoy basketball at this point. This year, it didn't look like he was having a lot of fun, in all honesty. No. But a lot of it has to do with his own decisions about how he handled free agency as well, because that storyline crept into everything. And he could have squashed it a long time ago, and he didn't completely squash it. So I think for him, it's the idea of, okay, I have to make a decision and just be there, commit, and once he commits, then that storyline goes away and he could just enjoy the game itself. But what is it that made him not happy here? Is there something is there anything specific? Was it just everything else surrounding the game? What is it that didn't make him happy? Because when you hear the story also of him FaceTiming Klay Thompson and wanting to get back, maybe he did need that little extra up. Maybe he did need that little extra motivation to get him out there on the court to make him want to enjoy the game again. And maybe that redemption story is what he needs to really kind of enjoy his time here at Golden State and maybe get that goal of, okay, let's get back to becoming that championship team, that dynastic team that we've been promised to be. Because right now, by not winning this year, there's a lot of questions still. People are still kind of questioning this team and, you know, where they are when you look at the grand scope of the NBA and its history. So maybe, in all honesty, what's more important? Is it legacy or is it just going and, you know, going to a new place?
I think right for him, I mean, he's going to be in the closing stages of his career if he does stay here. I think it's just playing with teammates that he wants to play with guys who he knows want to play with him. That was what was in question, especially this season. Not the first couple of years when they obviously won the championship, but this season was in question in terms of, do these guys on the Warriors enjoy playing with me? Like, after the whole Draymond scuffle, I think the narrative surrounding the team is that, yeah, these guys don't like playing with Kevin Durant. They don't like it when he plays isolation ball. And no matter how many times Steph and Clay would basically reject any of the notion that they don't enjoy playing with Kevin Durant or they don't like having him on the team. No one really listened to that. And I think it was until he got hurt and then they started losing a couple of ball games and then realizing, like, when they had questions asked to them and you see Steph and Clay talk just about they spoke so highly of Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. about as well as you could speak about a teammate. Like, they're saying, you know, he's a superstar. They acknowledge it and all that sort of stuff. So I just think that I think that this year it sort of I think it escaped us as fans, really, just trying to understand, like, how the team dynamic is and what their chemistry is like. But I also think, though, that it's proven that Steph and Clay, they want him here.
Yeah.
And I think he knows that. And if I was an athlete, if I was a superstar, I mean, sure, I would want to go win some championships. But I've won two finals MVPs already in two finals. Like, I've been to one with OKC, didn't win that one. But if I'm in the closing stages of my career, sure, I'd want to win a championship. But I think more or less, I just want to enjoy playing the game of basketball with people who enjoy playing it with me. Like, that's where I'd be.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see, you know, when the Warriors had lost that 73-win season, they got KD the next year. It was like something bad turned into something better.
Right.
And it helped, you know, obviously build this dynasty run. And to see something like this, an injury, something really bad between him and Klay Thompson, if this could potentially bring them back and extend that run that might have been dead after this season, maybe in the end we could look back on it kind of like the idea of them losing that one final, looking back, say, you know what, maybe that was a good thing for the Warriors for them to have lost that championship. Maybe we can look back on this year and say, you know, maybe it was a good thing they lost that championship because it could have led to something else.
I've been shocked at the amount of people who use that excuse, we've won a championship without you, we don't need you here.
Yeah.
You won one, but you also lost one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won the next two with him here.
Yep.
So I think they've proven that they do need him here. And I think that I really think that whether it's Joe Lacob or Bob Myers, they're gonna throw the kitchen sink at him. They're gonna throw whatever pitch they need to throw so that he can stay here, because they've realized that, hey, I mean, we can't say for sure whether they would have won in 2017 and 2018 without him here. So I just think that eventually I think we're gonna see that they're gonna throw the kitchen sink at him, if I'm gonna use a phrase cliche one more time.
Well, you know, the other thing is, it's obviously about his perception and what people think of him is obviously really important. We've seen that with social media, how he claps back at people, you know, the burner accounts that we're seeing before. So what people think about him is obviously something that's important to him. It is something when he thinks about that. And I think that now he's seeing that, you know, he is needed, like you're saying, and that he is wanted around here. So maybe that's something that's going to kind of push it to the end. But maybe that was another reason why he was exploring, you know, going with somebody else potentially, you know, reportedly. I don't know if that's – we don't know for sure if that's the case. That's just reports. You know, him and Kyrie hanging out and everything, maybe that was – just a way of saying, you know, I want to be wanted.
Right. And there's always one guy in every sport who just fans kind of like to glob onto so that they can, because as fans, right, the reason that we down talk to these guys, that we condescend these dudes, mm-hmm. is because we want to feel superior in some way, since we know that they are practically superior to us at what they're in their profession. They're way better at their profession than we are at whatever profession we're doing. And we just like to feel that kind of superiority. And for Kevin Durant for these past two seasons, he's been that one guy that everyone's loved to hate. I can't, like, I think about it and I can't even still imagine, like, how many just disparaging comments that he's gotten in these past couple of seasons. I think maybe now that it's passed, maybe the attention will finally be taken off of him. It was kind of put on Kyrie Irving this season, too.
Yeah, he got a lot of pressure put on him as well. Didn't handle it very well either, though.
Yeah.
He also is another one not handling pressure. Well, you see the differences with, say, somebody like Klay Thompson, who handled it completely differently.
Yeah.
He just kind of, you know, shut it down. You know, obviously he's a free agent this summer, so he kind of just shut down the talk. And that he wasn't the focus all year. You know, it was a question in the back of everybody's minds. We kind of brought it up here and there, but it hasn't been hanging over everybody's head all season long. It hasn't been a huge talking point until more recently. It's obviously been more in the mix. The other thing is, I'm kind of wondering how much, you know, athletes feel like they're doing so much now. Like, I feel like every one of these athletes have, you know, their hands in everything, whether it's a show, a movie,
holy
tech
moly.
Industry.
Tonight.
Yeah, holy moly. Oh, is that tonight?
It's tonight.
Yeah, actually, it looks kind of fun. I kind of want to take part in that whole.
I'd love to take part
be
in
hilarious.
That. Steph.
But if it feels like, aren't they doing a lot? Like, I'm trying to think back, obviously, now with social media and the news outlets completely different from when, you know, from when I was a kid and watching sports. I felt like a lot of these athletes were really just focused on the game, and more of this stuff happened at the end of their careers rather than during their careers. Does it feel like they're almost all doing so much right now?
Yeah, they're all – there's way more just – especially now compared to, say, basketball players. In the, like, let's take a look at Shaq, for instance.
Shaq does a lot now.
He's got his hands in everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude, he was – what was he doing? He was promoting Krispy Kreme donuts. He was promoting this chicken shop where he actually held a chicken sandwich in between his thumb and his forefinger. And I'm telling you, that was just a regular sized chicken sandwich. That, mm-hmm. It looked like a mini slider in his hand, but I think in any regular human's hand, it would just be a huge chicken sandwich. But I do think that there are just way more investment opportunities now, whether it be in technology and whatever, because we've just advanced as a generation. That's just what we've done since the 90s, especially in these 2000s. I mean, they are doing a lot right now.
Is it a distraction? How much of a distraction is it?
I mean, you look at guys like Andre Iguodala, who I think has his hands in a lot of cookie jars, especially out here in Silicon Valley. I mean, has it been a distraction to him? I mean,
I would
that's
love,
a good question.
That's something I would love to know, how these players balance so much. I mean, obviously they have help with, you know, other people that they work with, people who are handling certain things. But when you're investing that type of money, I'm sure you have to have a lot of say in what decisions that are being made.
Yeah.
And so that's got to take some time away from what you're doing. So I would love to understand the balance of everything and how they do that.
Yeah,
so.
that also makes me wonder, like, just why money makes such a difference considering how much they actually make off the court rather than just on the court for what they do in basketball. But, you know, I mean, these guys, if you have the opportunity to make a bunch of money and possibly be a billionaire, then why not do it?
Shaq's net worth, have you seen it?
No.
So his net worth, $400 million.
Oof.
Yeah. He's got his hands in all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. But speaking of Andre Iguodala, though, he is writing a book, Anna, or is publishing a book? He's writing it, I believe.
I think it was like writing with somebody else, though. But it's a book called The Sixth Man. It's all about him and his journey as a sixth man, and kind of the understanding what it took to become that sixth man, because he was so against it for the longest time. He didn't want to be known as a sixth man, but once he really accepted that role, that's when things kind of took off for him with the Warriors. But that's gonna be coming out June 25th. So that's what is that next week? This week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be coming out in about 5 days, so you can see.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So this next week is going to be coming out. So we're going to see his book come out. Actually had an interesting thing also about Klay Thompson in there.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. So Klay Thompson, in his upcoming book, The Sixth Man, he actually shared an untold Klay story. And you know how much we love Klay stories around here. All right. So as Iguodala tells it, the team was going around and discussing moments where they felt the highest. And when it was Klay's turn to share, he delivered a complete Klay masterpiece. He said, "When Klay's turn came, we all assumed he was going to say that his highest moment was the day he scored 37 points in a quarter against Sacramento." Iguodala writes, "I mean, that was an NBA record, but he didn't. Instead, he said, my best moment was one night I caught a pass and I was like 50 feet from the basket and I was about to shoot it. And all of a sudden I hear Andre being like, 'What the bleep, Klay? You're 50 feet out.' And I thought about it for a second and shot it anyway. It went in and I was like, 'Yeah, Andre, bleep you.' We all had a good laugh about it. I was like, 'Really, dog? That was your best moment?'"
Living my best life.
Yeah, see, what I find interesting about especially these autobiographies when it comes to athletes is they open up about pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. They're not going to leave really anything out the book. What are you like most interested in really reading about? I mean, I'm going to assume you'll read this book.
Yeah.
And I want to hear from you, texters, 95795 Chill Nobody text line. What would you be most excited to read in this Andre Iguodala book? We'll probably go back to this topic on Tuesday when the book actually comes out, but I'd be real interested to see what that the turmoil that David West was talking
about
the locker room beforehand. I'd love to read about that part, and obviously just Iguodala sacrificing and becoming that sixth man, which was probably tough for him. I mean, I'm going to assume that he'll go deep into detail about that part.
I mean, it's going to be the conversations he has with Steve Kerr and how Steve Kerr went up to him and actually convinced him to take that role on, because to be, you know, to come off the bench and to completely change his mindset is a huge difference in his play. And so what did Steve Kerr say to convince him? Because we, you know, everybody talked about, there's all this question of, you know, Steve Kerr has an amazing group of athletes. What is it that makes him such a good coach? Is he a good coach, or is it just that he happens to be surrounded by good athletes? We believe now that he is a fantastic coach with what he's done with this team.
Right.
Not anybody can do what he's done.
Not a lot of people, everyone believes that. There's a lot of texters who get on Kerr for his rotations.
Okay, look what he had this year. Okay, with everybody going down, come on. Okay, really step back, everyone, and think here. Step back, y'all. Step back.
Yeah.
But that's what I want to find out. Like, how does he handle that type of situation? How does he talk to these players? So for me, it's the leadership from Steve Kerr and how this team actually all came together.
I'd love to just read about what went on within the locker room when Kevin Durant got signed and he was getting all the backlash. Mm-hmm. And when the Warriors were pretty much made enemy number one in the NBA. I'd love to get his thoughts on that and maybe see what insight he has to that, because we haven't really heard like an honest assessment from these guys when they speak to the media. The most honest thing we've heard is David West in the post-game locker room talking about there was some friction there, or not friction, but there were some problems in the locker room that no one really can even understand. But I'd be interested to really see, though, what he'd say about Kevin Durant and just that whole move over to Golden State and all the backlash he was getting. I think that'd be the one thing that I'd be more interested in reading about. And also just like that early team that they were with, you know, when he got signed over in 2012, and just like the lead up to all of that, whether it was playing with guys like Carl Landry and Jarrett Jack, seeing the rise of Draymond Green. I don't think anyone really expected him coming out of the draft tonight, second round pick. I don't think anyone expected Draymond Green, except for a couple of people that I actually know who said Draymond Green's going to be the firepower behind this team in the future. That was in 2012.
That was pretty. That was foretelling right there. That was really foretelling a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah. But I think just the rise of Draymond Green, I'd be interested to read about that. Hopefully he details that in the book.
The 73 win, should they have gone for it? I think it was Andrew Bogut was the only one who was saying, let's not do it. Let's kind of step back a little bit. I keep saying step back. But let's kind of slow it down a little bit. But everybody wanted to go for it.
Yeah.
By the way, since we had a lot of questions to this or that questions yesterday from the 415, nice guy, welcome back. Another serious question. What are your buzz?
Ooh, I'm going Woody.
Going Woody.
Yeah. Buzz is a little self-centered. I don't know. I'm more of a Woody guy.
I know. Number two, he was all in there helping Woody, but yeah. I still love Woody.
All right, we got about 20 seconds left here. And also, we got from the 510, is cereal considered soup?
The definition of soup, a liquid dish typically made by boiling meat, fish, or vegetables, or in stock water. So no,
it is not. Wow, you had that ready?
Yeah, I had it ready because I saw the text.
Mark Spears, Greg Papa coming up with Jolo and Dibs next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.